Welcome to Wall Street Unspun with your host, Peter Schiff.
But it's a giant bubble in search of a pin, and it's going to find
one. Are you confused with the ups and downs of the economy and what it means to you?
Don't believe the propaganda, and that's what it is. When you're listening to an analyst on a lot of these popular financial shows, you're not getting investment advice. You're getting propaganda.
Get ready to untangle the web of misinformation provided by the mainstream media.
These firms are trying to sell you stocks. Their real clients, their banking clients, are trying to get rid of stuff.
And now, here's your host of Wall Street Unspun, the president of Euro Pacific Capital and a licensed broker with a passion for truth. It's Wall Street Unspun with Peter Schiff.
Hi, everybody. This is Peter with another live edition of Wall Street Unspun, midweek market outlook. This is Wednesday. What is this, the 17th, December 16th or 17th? I'm losing track of time. We're doing the show live, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Time. The number to call toll-free, 888-678-9597. You know, I tried to do the show last week remotely. I know my brother was supposed to do the beginning, and for over a half hour I tried to get through. Of course, I was trying to call in on the caller lines. And the lines were busy the entire time. I couldn't even get through to my own show. It's unfortunate I didn't have another number, but I hear my brother did a pretty good job in my absence. Anyway, I am back today to do the entire show myself. Basically, where I was at the time, I was finally back on Kudlow & Company. And so I want to do my first time back on in a year and a half. I want to do it in studio and talk to Kudlow a little while, just to try to meet him personally. I hadn't met him. I don't know if anybody saw the show. It should be up on YouTube or my site. And actually, I did the show again yesterday, so I've done Kudlow now twice in about a week. So at least I guess I'm back on the rotation on that show after a year and a half absence. You know, it's funny, too, because if you want to look at this video clip, the last time I was on Kudlow, I was on with a guy named it's slipping my mind. Anyway, Don Luskin. And so, you know, after I was on this show, you can look at it. If you look at Peter Schiff on YouTube, Peter Schiff, Don Luskin, you might find this thing, Peter Schiff, Don Luskin. I think there's one of them that doesn't come up when you put Don Luskin on, but there's about 22,000 views about there. But it was one of the best Kudlows I've done. And this guy Luskin said some terrible, terrible, you know, crazy things. And, of course, after the interview, he wrote scathing things about me on his website. Anyway, I get back on the show, and there's Don Luskin. And I'm, you know, as polite as I can be. I'm not pointing out all the crazy things he said, how wrong he was in the past. But, of course, he wastes no time in trying to criticize me on his website to talk about the fact that how wrong I've been, how all my predictions, my investment advice has been so bad. And it's like, he recommended buying the Dow with both hands at 14,000 when I was on the air with him. And then he wrote about, you know, and everything this guy has ever said has been wrong. But for some reason, again, I just thought it was funny. So if you watch that show that was on and look at the things that Luskin is saying now, and then go back to see what Luskin was saying a year ago, how wildly bullish he was on the economy, on the stock market, how he said the mortgage market was never going to be a problem, that subprime wasn't a problem, that I was some kind of crazed lunatic based on predicting gloom and doom. I think one of the things he says was when are you going to? People are going to stop coming on television and predicting gloom and doom. You know, this is just nonsense. This is crazy. But I thought it was interesting. But anyway, so I've done the Kudlow show twice now, so I guess I'll start being on it. Anyway, you know, keep looking at the website at europac.net for television appearances. I think right now I've got one up there. I'm going to be on CNN. Now I think that's a live show that I'm doing on CNN. I think the time is up there on the website. Why is my website? I was trying to, for some reason, I can't navigate on my website. I hope that doesn't mean that there's a problem here. I can't go to a different page on my site. Every time I go to a page, I get the same page. But I'm going to be on, at least it says on the website, I'm going to be on Friday. I think it's 10:15 or something in the morning. And I think that's live, but it could, if it's taped, then the show won't air till Saturday or Sunday. I forget. I had a feeling maybe it was a taped show, but they put up the time that it might be the taping. But tune in anyway. But if I find out tomorrow that it's being taped, I'll put the time up. Well, now I see why. I lost my internet connection. This is no good, because without the internet connection, I can't see the calls. So I am going to try to get back on. I've been having a hard time with this internet connection at my house. Anyway, a lot has happened. Like, it's been 2 weeks since I've been on this show, and it's been a hell of a 2 weeks. I really wanted to get on last week. I really wanted to talk about the dollar and the fact that it was technically breaking down, and boy, was I right. In the last 2 weeks, 2 weeks since I've been on this show, the U.S. dollar index has tumbled by 10%. 10% in 2 weeks. This is the biggest decline in the U.S. dollar in the history of the index in as short a period of time. It is an outright collapse. And if you remember what I've been saying on this show for the past several months, I've said that the dollar rally is phony and that when it runs out of steam, the dollar is going to drop like a stone. I compared it to a toy rocket ship, you know, that you shoot up in the air, and as soon as it runs out of the fuel, the water that's in there, it comes collapsing back down to Earth. That is precisely what is happening to the dollar. It is free falling now. It has dropped 10% in 2 weeks. It could easily drop another 10% in the next 2 weeks, you know, and that's not going to be the end of it. If you look at the various currencies, I'm just trying to get back on the internet, and it is not working. If you look at the various currencies, and just look at how much the currencies are up, in the last 2 weeks, the euro and the Swiss franc are up 13.5%. The Japanese yen is up 10.5%, 8.5%. The Australian dollar is up 10%. The New Zealand dollar is up 12.5%. But remember, the Australian and New Zealand dollars dropped about 40%. So even though they're up 10 and 12% in 2 weeks, they are still way, way down from where they were. They still have a long way to go up. Also in the last 2 weeks, we've seen the price of gold up 20%, 20% in 2 weeks. And the index, the gold and silver index, the Huey of gold stocks, is up better than 50%. That's a 50% appreciation in 2 weeks. And if you look at how much this index is up from the highs 3 or 4 weeks ago, the index has now doubled. The index has up 100%. Now, it was down 80%, right? So you're talking about the fact that we had a huge decline. We're still down. But look how fast the market is coming back. Now, I've been talking about all the gold stocks. I own half my portfolio was gold stocks. And you know, it looked like people were saying, oh, you know, you were wrong to buy gold stocks. Look, gold's going down. I wasn't wrong. I mean, I started buying them, you know, years and years ago. But sure, you know, I didn't anticipate that there'd be this massive collapse in gold stocks on the eve of the destruction of our currency. But you know what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, because if I'm right, these stocks are going to be so much higher. You know, sure, with the benefit of hindsight, you can know exactly what you should have done. You always know that. At the end of the day, when you have a 5-minute bar chart of every stock, you know exactly what you should have bought and what you should have sold and when you should have done it. Of course, at the beginning of the day, you don't know how it's going to unfold. But looking backwards, when you have all the insight, it's very easy to second guess and say what you should have done. But in the final analysis, it's not going to matter. As I've been saying, anybody who's been following my investment advice, I'm convinced. I don't care how much their account is down now, or obviously how much it was down a month ago, because certainly, you know, my guess is that most accounts are up at least 20%, if not 30% from their lows. They're still down, right? If you invested with me 6 months ago, a year ago, you're still down. No question. If you sell your stocks, you're going to sell for a loss. But don't sell, right? You know, if you hold on, I think the gains are going to be spectacular. I mean, it's going to be ridiculous. I mean, no one's even going to remember this little blip on the radar. Of course, anyone that invested 2 weeks ago or a month ago has got a comfortable lead. I mean, there are people that came in recently that are up, you know, already up 20% in just a short period of time. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you're up or what you're down. The whole idea is to get out of the U.S. dollar, to get out of a currency that is on the verge of collapse. Because the people who don't get out, that think they're playing it safe, that don't want to take any risk, so they keep their money in the dollar, they are going to be broke. They're going to be completely broke, and that is obvious. It's obvious to me that that's what's going to happen. And if you didn't believe me up until now, you got to believe me now. Look at what Ben Bernanke did. He slashed interest rates to zero. Interest rates are zero now. The money is free. There's no more cuts, right? The Fed can't cut rates anymore. They are out of bullets when it comes to rate cuts. They are at zero right now. And what did Ben Bernanke say he's going to do in the future to stimulate the economy? He is going to run up printing presses as fast as he can, and he's going to buy government bonds. He's going to buy mortgages. He's going to buy credit card debt. He's going to buy all the crap that no one else in the world would want. Right? That's what he's going to do. And this is pure inflation, Latin American style. This is hyperinflation. This is Zimbabwe. This is the identical monetary policy. This is what the Weimar Republic did. And we're going to have the same result. You know, they're basically saying they're going to print money until they revive the economy. You can't revive the economy by printing money. They're going to suffocate it to death. It's going to die by hyperinflation. And don't be fooled. I saw this big report on one of the network newses today where they're trying to say how deflation is terrible, how falling prices are terrible, which, of course, are not deflation. That if people think prices are going to fall, no one's going to buy anything and the whole economy is going to collapse. That is utter and sheer unadulterated nonsense. And I wrote about that in my book. I've talked about it in the air. Falling prices don't stop people from buying. That is nonsense. Do cell phone prices come down? Do laptop computer prices come down? Do plasma TV prices come down? They come down all the time. Does it stop people from buying? Absolutely not. It is sheer bullshit. It is unadulterated government propaganda so they can crank up the printing presses. That's exactly what they did back in 2001 and 2002 when they raised this straw man of deflation. I talked about it and I wrote about it then. They're just trying to scare us into thinking that the government needs to save us from the scourge of being able to buy things for less money. And that the solution is, thank God the government has a solution. They're going to save us from deflation. They're going to print and print and print money. Right, which is what they want to do, because they want to print it and spend it and buy their votes. But they are going to destroy this economy with this printing press money. There is no two ways about it. This is what they're doing. This is going to lead to a complete disaster. You know, it's crazy. It's like, would anybody get on a plane if they knew the pilot didn't know how to fly? Right? Would you want to go on a plane if you knew going in the guy flying the plane was completely clueless? He was just going to wing it, you know? No pun intended. Would you get on that plane? Of course not. Well, basically, the people flying the economic plane of the United States haven't a clue how to fly. And they're going to crash into the side of a mountain, and there is no hope anyone on that plane is going to survive. And all you can do is recognize that these guys don't know what they're doing and get off that plane or don't get on it, right? The people who are convinced that they're going to save the economy by printing money and buying up stuff, you know, these are the same people who told us everything was fantastic a year ago, that we didn't have to worry about anything, that it was the economy had never been better, that the fundamentals of the economy were sound. They were completely wrong then, and they're completely wrong now. They didn't understand the problem, and they've got the wrong solution. There is no doubt in my mind that what the government is doing is going to destroy the economy and destroy the currency. Absolutely none whatsoever. And I am 100% convinced that anybody who has their wealth in U.S. dollars will be just as broke as the people who have their money with Madoff. It's not going to matter. It is going to be destroyed. And I don't know how much time you have. You know, with the dollar dropping 5% a week at this point, I don't know. Could the dollar snap back a little bit? Sure, of course. But what if it keeps falling? What if it's down 5% next week and 5% the week after that? And then what if it drops 10% and another 10%? Who knows? You know, at some point, a year or two from now, the dollar could be dropping 5% a day. You know, the inflation rate in Zimbabwe is over 100,000,000% per year. I can't even calculate what that is. But you know what? It didn't start off that bad. It didn't start off that bad. It happened as a result of the monetary policy that we are now pursuing. Now, are we gonna get religion? Are we going to change course? Are we not going to follow the Zimbabwe monetary policy completely? Are we going to change course? I don't know. But you know what? The longer it takes for us to change course, the harder it is to make the change, right? The deeper into debt we go, the more money the Fed prints, the harder it is to pull that inflation genie back in the bottle. Because the reason that the politicians are doing this is because they don't want to face the pain. They don't want to deal with reality. Well, the more they do this, the more painful reality becomes. So if they can't deal with the pain today, why would they deal with twice as much pain in the future? That is the flaw in thinking that, well, they're just going to do something later on to stop it. They're not. If they really had the guts to do it, then they'd do it right now. So this is extremely, extremely dangerous. And, you know, if anybody had doubted what I've been saying in the past, I don't see how you can do it now, looking at what they've done. And, you know, as I've said, I said the dollar would fall sharply, and it has. It is dropping like a stone. And the people who bought into this dollar rally bought into a pack of lies. You know, and I talked about the fact that there was no fundamental justification. People were saying nonsense like, well, we're the first into the crisis. We're going to be the first out. We're the ones that are taking the most aggressive actions. Therefore, our economy is going to do the best, that the dollar's rising because as bad as things are here, they're so much worse every place else. It's all nonsense. None of it was true. There was no fundamental reason for the dollar to go up. It was pure trading. It was deleveraging. It was speculation. It was momentum. None of it had anything to do with the fundamentals for the U.S. economy. If it did, the dollar would have been falling, not rising. Those short-term props are gone. The dollar is now sinking on its own weight, and it's going to drop like a stone. And, you know, there's not a lot of time. You know, as far as foreign stocks right now, look, interest rates are being slashed around the world. Stocks are the only place to be. You got to own real stuff. You can't own paper. Right now, you know, stocks are still cheap. A lot of the stocks that I've been recommending, a lot of these stocks in the last couple of weeks, two or three weeks, have gone up 30, 40, 50%, not even counting the currency. But these stocks are still way down, still way down. Now, there are some stocks that are still close to their lows, within 5 or 10% of their lows right now in local currency. So it is not certainly not too late to build a portfolio of foreign stocks. And the yields are incredible. Remember, we're talking about dividend yields of 10 and 20%. Why would somebody turn down those yields in order to keep their money in cash and government paper and take a 1 or 2% yield? It makes no sense. Look at the yield on the 30-year bond. It's like 2.6%. The 10-year is like 2.4%. What would anybody in their right mind buy U.S. Treasuries holding it for 30 years to add 2.5%? No, of course not. This is insane. This is a mania. And, of course, the buyers are either traders who are buying to sell and they're trading momentum, or they're the Federal Reserve that's just buying to artificially suppress interest rates in the short run. But believe me, nobody is buying into the Treasuries with real money. Nobody is buying a 30-year government bond hoping to clip coupons for the next 30 years at 2.5%. Nobody around the world is doing that. Anybody with an ounce of intelligence is selling every U.S. government bond they have to the Federal Reserve right now. And they're taking their dollar, and they're taking the money, the dollars that they get, by selling bonds to the Treasury, and they're buying euros, they're buying yen. The yen now is at a 13 or 14-year high against the euro. They're buying other things. That's probably why you're seeing bonds rising and the dollar falling, because our foreign creditors are selling their U.S. Treasuries to the Federal Reserve. And when they get in their dollars, they're buying other currencies. And ultimately, right, when the only buyer in town is the Federal Reserve, and for all we know, they're the only buyer right now, right? The bonds are going to collapse. It's not, nobody's going to want them because the money's going to have no value. I mean, think about it, right? What's worse than owning a dollar today? Having the promise to be paid a dollar in 30 years. I don't know what the dollar's going to be worth in 30 days, let alone 30 years, right? So you people have to understand that we are living at a very important moment in time. We are going to witness the destruction of our currency and a massive collapse in our economy. The major economic collapse that is going to be unleashed is not the result of the unwinding of all the imbalances that I've been writing about and warning about for years, right? That's going to happen anyway. This massive disaster, this inflationary or hyperinflationary depression that the government and the central bank is leading us right into, right? This is created by government. Right? This has got nothing to do with the free markets. This has got nothing to do with the tough medicine that we need to take. This is what's going to happen because the government is denying that medicine. Right? The government is going to try to stimulate us when we're already close to overdose. We have too much heroin. We have too much alcohol in the system, and the government's going to shoot us up with some more. And this stimulus is going to they're going to give the economy an overdose of stimulus that is hyperinflation, and there is no end to what's going to happen. And remember, every time the government stimulates this economy, no matter what they do, no matter who they bail out, they're going to make the situation worse. And every time they make it worse, guess what? They up the dosage. And every time they up the dosage, they do even more damage. I don't see any way out of this spiral right now. There is nobody in Washington. Nobody is standing up to this. It is just a perpetual loop of destruction. And all you can do is get out of the way, because it's going to destroy everybody in its wake. And as I said, you can't be worried about, well, the short-term volatility, or what if I buy some stock and it goes down? It doesn't matter. Because if you hold your dollars, you will go broke. There is no doubt in my mind that that's the case. And so you got to decide. People have to decide. What risks in life do you want to assume? Do you want to take your chances that the Keynesians are right, that the inflationists are right, that the socialists and the Marxists and the central planners are right? If that's what you want to put your faith in, then hold on to U.S. dollars. But if you want to put your faith in the free markets and capitalism, if you believe in the principles of Adam Smith, if you believe in the founding fathers and what made this country great, then you need to get out of dollars. You need to get out of them right now. And I don't know how much more time we have to wait on this, but I wouldn't press it. I wouldn't press it. You know, it's very apropos, you know, all this stuff about Madoff and his Ponzi scheme. Read the article that's on my website right now in Madoff We Trust, or Madoff We Trust, rather. Because, you know, Ponzi schemes are illegal for a reason. They're illegal because they don't work, right? What is a Ponzi scheme? What's the difference between a Ponzi scheme and a legitimate investment, right? Well, in the legitimate investments, there are real returns that are generated from investments. In a Ponzi scheme, there are no investments made. There are no returns. The people who put their money in the early stages, the money to make their payments comes from new investors. And the investors coming in today assume that there'll be more investors coming in the future. Whether, you know, usually they don't know it's a Ponzi scheme. But in some cases, like Social Security, everybody knows it's a Ponzi scheme, but we participate anyway. Now, of course, one of the reasons we participate in Social Security is because the government forces us to. Many people would not participate willingly because we can figure out that it's a Ponzi scheme. But the whole idea is when you're running a Ponzi scheme, eventually it's a collapse. Well, the U.S. government, the entire economy, is based on Ponzi scheme financing. Social Security is a Ponzi scheme. The way the government is financing the national debt, it's a Ponzi scheme, right? The national debt always gets bigger. We go deeper and deeper into debt every day. And every time a bond matures, what does the government do? It sells another bond to pay it off. How do we pay the interest on the national debt? Oh, we borrow that money. So we're constantly going into debt. And we count on the fact that we can borrow money, and that when the bonds come due, we can borrow more money to pay them off. But what happens is when the creditors decide they don't want to lend anymore, they want their money back, that's when the whole thing collapses. Why is the Madoff scheme, why did this Ponzi scheme collapse? Because several Madoff clients needed their money and asked for it back, and of course it wasn't there. Why did they need their money? Well, they lost money someplace else. They lost money in other hedge funds in the stock market, and they had this pile of money, so they thought, sitting in Madoff's fund. So they called up their buddy Bernie and said, hey, I need some of that cash that you've made me all over the years. And the jig was up because the money wasn't there. It was a scam. Well, the same thing's going to happen in the United States. You know, maybe the Chinese, you know, who are sitting on, you know, trillion plus of U.S. treasuries, they want to stimulate their economy. They have this huge war chest, this huge rainy day fund of U.S. dollars, and they call up Ben Bernanke or they call up Henry Paul. So they say, hey, you know, we're not going to roll over any treasuries today. We'd like to use some of this money that we have in treasuries to pay for infrastructure in our country. So how about sending us $600 billion? Well, we don't have the money, you know. It's a Ponzi scheme. It's over with, and it's a collapse. It's just as good, and this is going to happen. This is going to happen sooner. It's not going to happen later. And, you know, of course, you know, I keep laughing. The politicians, I keep hearing on television that everybody wants to – we need an economic stimulus, right? We need to build our bridges and build our roads. Yeah, fine. That's great. It's nice to have roads without potholes and nice bridges. We just can't afford to build them. That's the problem. We're too broke to do that. Where's the money going to come from? Where's the labor going to come from? The reality is there are other things we need to do first. Yes, we should have built up our infrastructure. We allowed it to decay. But the fact that we have to repair it is a cost. It's not a benefit. You know, I mean, think about it. What if somebody, you know, went to a credit counselor? Somebody on an individual, they were having financial difficulties, they were loaded up with debt, and they were struggling, and they went to a counselor, and they said, what do you think I should do? And the counselor's advice was, well, why don't you remodel your house? You know, can't you need a, well, wouldn't it be nicer if you had a new kitchen and better floors? Yeah, that would be great, but you're broke. How are you going to get out of your financial problems by spending more money to remodel your house? Right? The solution to our problems isn't to borrow more money from Japan and China and fix up our roads. No. What we need to do is make things that we can sell to the Japanese and the Chinese to get out of debt so that we can afford to fix our roads with our own money. That's the problem. And, you know, everybody the government employs making bridges and making roads, is that's somebody who can't make a product, who can't do something else that we need to do more. You know, this is all nonsense. And, of course, most of the roads, the bridges that the government are going to make, they might be bridges to nowhere, in which case not only do we waste our money, but we get a bridge that nobody needs. And, of course, if the government's going to pay for it, we'll probably pay two or three times what the bridge is worth. But, of course, if we don't even need it, it's worthless. So, look, everything the government is going to do, this massive economic stimulus plan that Obama's got coming down the pike, every time they say the word stimulus, you know, we need to come up with another adjective. Like destroy or you know, because every time they stimulate the economy, they're going to make it worse, they're going to impede it, they're going to stymie it, they're going to stifle it, they're going to destroy any chance we have of a meaningful recovery. Because we can't have a recovery until this economy restructures. And the market wants to do that, and the government is desperately interfering with this cure every chance they get, and they are doing something that is going to be a complete disaster. Anyway, I know there's probably some calls on the phone. I can't even tell who's there. I'm not online. Let me try to play the commercial. Let me see if I can go downstairs and get a better internet connection and try to get back on the internet. Let's play the commercial real quick.
Euro Pacific Capital is an independent brokerage firm on a mission to inform its client base and prospective clients about economic and market events that could affect their financial security. Euro Pacific Capital seeks to provide solutions designed to protect our clients and their families from the U.S. government and its inflationary practices. The time to act is now, while you still have the opportunity to get your money out of the dollar. It's legal to do so, and after a consultation with one of Euro Pacific's brokers, you will understand how this decision could ensure your financial security. We offer a full array of services ranging from retirement and trust accounts to complete financial planning, checking accounts with or without debit cards, and life insurance, even annuities. With our independent, no-nonsense investment advice that's a cut above the run-of-the-mill commentary that is passed for research for far too long on Wall Street, we suspect investors will find a home at Euro Pacific Capital.
Hi, well, I'm back. I'm still trying to reset this router. You know, it's a shame, too, because we got a brand-new system that I'm trying to try out today to see the callers on hold. And I happen to lose the connection, so I'm just trying to reset this router and seeing if I can get back into the connection. I've been having this problem too earlier in the day. I didn't realize it would recur so often. And I'm trying to get on because I know there's probably a lot of people that have questions that they'd like answered. And I'm going to try, if you bear with me, because I'm trying to do these, you know, run these repair and diagnose things and try to figure out what I can do. Anyway, what I should do is, look, why don't you just throw through a caller? I don't know who they are, but just go through the queue and just start, you know, just introduce the first caller.
Hello?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes, who's on the line?
Hi, Peter. My name's Taylor. I'm from Washington State.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for battling through the router issues and taking my call. I've got kind of a practical question for you. I've really been compelled by your advice to get out of the dollar, and I've been considering doing so with my emergency rainy day fund, and I've actually also considered drawing on my home equity line as well. Mm-hmm. Right now I have about, you know, $10,000 set aside in the rainy day fund and another $7,000 or so in physical silver bullion. Mm-hmm. My question is, would you recommend such a plan with either of these particular sources of funds? And if so, how would you specifically recommend that I hold the foreign currency, given that I might need it to be somewhat liquid?
Okay, I think I'm online, but my battery is low, and I don't have my plug down here. I'm trying to see if I have enough juice in this thing to stay downstairs. Maybe. I'm not sure. Look, I'm not going to give you advice on that one, because it's
okay.
Something that you've got to do. I can tell you what I would do personally if I owned a home, which I don't, okay?
Uh-huh.
If I owned a home, I would borrow as much money as anybody was stupid enough to lend me. And I would invest it abroad. I would buy foreign stocks that paid as good a dividend as I could do. and I would take advantage. In fact, the only temptation I have to buy a home is because I can go into debt. And because I can take the money, it's like as long as you have a home, people will lend you all sorts of money at a very low rate of interest. And it's amazing. I can't borrow. I don't own a home, so I can't get one of these low interest loans. But if I owned a home, I could do it. And that's the only temptation. But, you know, I don't want to futz around with it. I'm not going to go buy some shit home that I don't even want to live in just so I can go and mortgage it up and buy some more foreign stocks. But if I owned one right now, like, you know, that's what I would do. Right? Because obviously I couldn't sell it at this point. I mean, no one would buy it from me. I guess I could totally slash the price. But I would probably try to take advantage of these ridiculous low rates of interest. I would borrow as much money as I could, and I would take that money and I would buy foreign stocks. Because eventually, if I'm right, I'll be able to pay back all the money I borrowed with 1 month's dividends. And I'll own this portfolio of real assets for nothing. But you know, that's what I would do. Other people have to make their own decisions and figure out, you know, what they think the risks are.
Okay. As far as the emergency fund cash that needs to be liquid, would you put that in a foreign currency and just, like, hold it in a foreign currency account or hold the actual paper?
Well, I would. You know, okay. I mean, I would, at this level, where the dollar has had a big rally and given what our monetary policy now is, you know, the only U.S. currency I would want to hold is coins. Pennies and nickels, you know, mint, you know, in a jar, because there's actually nickel and copper there. That's it. Or, you know, the older ones, you got to go back. But even the newer ones, you know, that's the only way I would hold U.S. money, is have big jars of pennies and nickels and maybe, you know, I mean, because otherwise you got nothing.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thanks. I appreciate you taking my call.
Thank you. So was that just, I think I'm online. Was that just Taylor? Is Carlos next? Hello?
Hi, Peter. This is Carlos from Indiana.
Oh, hi, Carlos.
Hey, Peter. Read your book. Loved it. I have a two-part question. Number one, in your book and on the radio show before, you've hinted at possible civil unrest when the dollar goes down. My question was geographically, if you had any idea where that's going to be the most acute. And,
well, I would think there'll be the most civil unrest in areas near urban areas or near cities, certainly in areas where there's a lot of people on public assistance, who might be more inclined to go towards crime because they've been so, you know, coddled with government money. And when the government money stops coming, they could lash out. They could blame others. Areas that are already higher in crime, if you're suburbs of those areas. But, you know, if things get bad enough, I mean, it could be that even people who under ordinary circumstances would be law-abiding citizens under dire circumstances may turn to crime and violence. And who knows? I mean, I think we're going to really learn a lot about ourselves and our character over the next 4 or 5 years, and we'll see how civil we are. Compared to our grandparents who lived through the Great Depression, because we could be living through something that's even worse than that.
Well, I certainly, a couple months back or a couple weeks back, you talked to a caller who said that who mentioned that ammo prices were going up, and I can second that. Ammo is much more expensive, and I certainly have followed and stocked up on that myself. My second
question.
Yeah,
as I said, I mentioned that. Look, there's nothing wrong with having. A means of defending yourself. Because I also think if the situation does get very bad and there is a big increase in crime and black markets and things like that, chances are the police protection is not going to be adequate, that the local municipalities are going to be broke. They're not going to have the money to pay the police and to fund an adequate police. And the criminals will know that. The criminals will know that there aren't enough police on the streets. And so you're going to have a way of protecting yourself if nobody else is protecting you.
Sure. I guess my second question also is, in your book, you talk about, Farmer Chan basically working hard and saving, and Farmer Jones changing his field into a golf course. When will we know, how will we know when Farmer Jones is about to have to plow under the golf course and make it into a field. What are some of the clues that we'll see?
We're already in trouble. I think the world is going to stop sending us, you know, stuff. I mean, we're done. I mean, it is unraveling right now. You know, exactly how long it's going to take, I don't know. I mean, I don't have a crystal ball, right? If I had a crystal ball, you know, I would have got everybody out of their foreign stocks last year and out of their gold stocks and bought back 3 weeks ago. I mean, but I don't. I don't know exactly what the path is going to be. But I know that this is the end of it, right? The chickens are finally coming home to roost. This is when we have to pay the piper. We're trying to avoid it, but this is it. This is the major disaster. This is the end of the game. We are living through it right now. This is when this is when this whole house of cards is going to come tumbling down. We are now paying the price for 20 or 30 years of inflationary monetary policy, of the deindustrialization of our country. We accelerated it up. It probably would have gone on for a while longer had it not been for this last hurrah with the real estate bubble and all the money they created. This is the end of it. This is our Madoff moment, our Bernie Madoff moment. We're having that moment now, and this whole Ponzi scheme economy is going to collapse.
All right, well,
thanks for the call.
I appreciate it, Peter. Thank you.
Okay, let's go to Gabe in Texas. Gabe, are you there?
Can you hear me?
I got you.
Okay. The question for you is, how do you counter the argument that some people are saying that since banks aren't lending money right now, at least not to the consumer, that that's actually deflationary? How do you counter that?
Look, I've talked about this inflation, deflation. Inflation is money creation, right? Expansion of the money supply. Deflation is contraction of the money supply. The money supply is expanding. It's expanding rapidly. What we have is inflation, right? That's what we have. Now, we do have the fact that asset prices are falling, right?
Fine.
Asset prices are falling. You know, they rose too much, and now they're falling. Credit is contracting. Sure, because there's no more savings available. People borrow too much money. They can't pay it back. Lenders are in trouble. But that doesn't counteract all the money that the Federal Reserve is creating. This is an inflation economy. And sure, you know, as I said, there are some going out of business sales right now. Prices are coming down, but that's not deflation. And prices going up aren't inflation. Inflation is money supply growing. Deflation is money supply contracting. Money supply is not contracting. It's expanding. It's expanding rapidly. And the result of this money creation is going to be rising consumer prices. It's going to happen. It might not be happening right now because maybe the going out of business sales are exerting a bigger downward pressure on prices than the upward pressure being exerted by inflation. But ultimately, that's going to change, and prices are going to skyrocket. But of course, beneath the surface, if there's enough inflation, asset prices will rise too, but only in nominal terms. But they will be falling dramatically in terms of consumer goods and commodities. But if you want to view the price spectrum through the prism of gold bullion, and I've been saying this often on the show, yes, the price of everything is falling if you measure the price in gold, right? So if you want to say our price is going to drop in gold, yes, prices are going to drop in gold.
I gotcha.
You know, and they're going to keep dropping in gold. They're dropping in gold now. And they're, you know, and so prices for everything are going to fall in gold because the gold supply is not increasing rapidly, but the supply of dollars is increasing rapidly, and it's going to increase even more rapidly in the future.
Oh, so you got deflation in terms of gold, but inflation
it's
in terms of dollars.
It's not deflation. It's prices falling. Deflation is a contraction of the money supply. That's not happening. But if you want to look at it in terms of we had an inflationary boom, which is going to be followed by a deflationary bust, yes, if you just want to look at it in terms of gold, then that is what is going to happen. But if you look at it in terms of the currency, the dollar, that's not what's going to happen. We're going to have an inflationary boom followed by a hyperinflationary collapse because that's what the government is doing.
Okay. Thanks for the answer, Peter.
Thanks, Gabe. Okay, next one, Dave from Toronto. Dave, are you there?
Hello.
Yes, this is Peter.
Hi, Peter. How are you doing?
Good.
Good. Thanks for taking my call. I've been following you for the past couple months now, and I think what you're doing is great. I love listening to your on the shows and checking out your YouTube videos and stuff. One thing I'm wondering, I tried to open an account with Euro-Pacific, but because I'm in Canada, I was unable to. But so what I'm, what I just wanted a little bit of advice from you. I'm wondering what your view is on the Canadian dollar and what your outlook is for the Canadian economy. Are we in the same boat as the U.S. a little bit, or?
No. I think the Canadian dollar is going to go higher. I think the Canadian economy is in far better shape than the U.S. economy. I think, unfortunately, the Canadian government is making the mistake of cutting rates and assuming that they've got to follow the same monetary path as the United States. So, unfortunately, the whole world is going to have to suffer a rather substantial round of inflation that is completely unnecessary. But I think the global economy ultimately is going to be in good shape despite the mistakes that they're making now. They are making these mistakes trying to prop up the United States economy. Ultimately, they will give up that battle because it's a battle they can't win, because the cost of propping up our economy is far greater than the cost of allowing it to collapse. And if they simply will get out of the way and stop buying our bonds and let us collapse on our own, then the world economy will have a renaissance and there will be a boom, and people around the world will breathe a sigh of relief because they will no longer have to support American consumers. They will finally be able to enjoy the fruits of their own labor. They will finally be able to invest their savings productively at home instead of letting it be squandered in America. And I'm very happy and excited for what the world is going to be able to achieve once they're freed of the U.S. drag. And hopefully, at some point when the enablers no longer supply us with the drug, we'll be able to kick the habit, and one day we'll be able to rebuild a viable economy. It's going to be very painful. The problem is, before we get a chance to do that, we can have utter and complete economic annihilation as a result of the monetary policy and the fiscal policy that our government is now pursuing and is likely to pursue in the coming years. And, it is very unfortunate. It doesn't have to be this bad, but the government is going to do this. They are going to destroy the economy, with this policy. Maybe one good thing will come out of it, is that the policies, the economics of John Maynard Keynes will be so completely discredited at the end of this failed experiment that maybe those textbooks will finally be put in the trash cans where they deserve. And maybe the rest of the world will look at the misery and the economic obliteration of the United States, and they'll know why it happened. They'll know exactly why it happened. And maybe they won't make those mistakes in their own economies.
Okay. And one thing I was wondering is, I'm thinking about investing in some of the oil trusts and maybe some of the mining companies in Canada. I don't have any exposure globally. I want to, but I haven't taken that step yet. But would you say to be heavily invested in mining and oil companies?
Yeah. Well, I am.
Yeah.
I don't know your circumstances, but I am.
I
would just stay out of the U.S. If you live in Canada, I would still invest abroad. Mm-hmm. I would still invest in other countries.
Mm-hmm. So, and one thing, I don't know if you're able to do this, but how am I going to find out about these international companies that you're talking about with these large dividends? In Singapore and Japan and Australia and that. Where can I just do my own research? Are they, most of them, good?
Let's just call up Euro Pacific Capital. Talk to one of my brokers. Or your...
Yeah. Okay. That sounds good.
If we can work your account. I mean, if not, you kind of do it on your own.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that's an
option. Situation being a Canadian. Anyway, yeah, well, thanks for the call.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Peter.
Bye. Okay. Is the next call? Who's is it? Is it Mac in Florida?
Hello.
Yes, is this Mac?
No, this is Eric from Melbourne.
Oh, Eric, I'm down there in New York. Oh, all right, go ahead, Eric.
Hi, Peter. I'm a big fan, and I listen to your show and read your articles. I give you tons of commendations.
Thank you.
I have two a question in two parts, and first is, what does a demise in the U.S. mean for Latin American countries, especially Mexico?
Excuse me?
What does a demise in the U.S., meaning after this disaster actually occurs, what does a demise in the U.S. mean for Latin American countries, Mexico?
It's good for the rest of the world. You have to understand that America is hurting the global economy, right? We are consuming too much. We are not producing enough. We are limiting the standard of living of the rest of the world because they have to support our extravagance. We are squandering the world's wealth. So when the world stops supporting us, it is a big positive for the rest of the world. Now, in the short run, as the world acts irresponsibly to try to prop us up, if the world keeps lending us money so we can keep buying stuff that we can't afford, if they want to lend us money to rebuild our bridges and to rebuild our highways, and then the world's going to suffer because the world's going to have to pay for it. I mean, does it really benefit the Mexicans or the Chinese or the Russians to make nice roads and bridges for the Americans to drive on? No. They do not derive 1 ounce of benefit from building bridges for us. Why don't they build their own bridges? Because all the money that they loan us, they're never going to get it back. We can't pay it back. We spent it. We can't ship the bridge over to China. See, again, that's the point when I'm talking about a Ponzi scheme. We say that we're borrowing money from the rest of the world. We're not borrowing anything. We're taking money because we can never pay it back. All we can do is ask them to loan us more when the bonds come due. And when we have to pay the interest, we got to ask them to loan us the money to pay them the interest. So there is nothing in it. So the world will suffer until they cut us off. That's the bottom line.
Okay, so even for the very neighboring countries like Mexico, same deal.
Yeah, I mean, look, there will be winners and losers. There's obviously, if there's a company in Mexico that has been selling a lot of products to America, maybe that country goes bankrupt. And so for the person that owns that company, it could be a bad thing. But net, overall, for the whole, you know, everybody else, it's a net benefit.
Okay.
All right.
Second part, if you have a minute, is what is going forward, your outlook on housing in the U.S. and the New York metro region, given especially that Wall Street is thinning out?
You can answer that. Yeah, I mean, you don't even need me to answer that. I mean, it's dire. Housing is going to collapse. I mean, housing prices in this country are going to be at the lowest they've ever been in history, including the Great Depression. You'll be able to buy a house cheaper. The average house in America is going to be cheaper than it was at the height of the Great Depression if you're going to buy it in gold. All right. Now, if you're going to pay for it in dollars, obviously that's not the case because the dollar is going to be practically worthless. But the real value of American real estate is going to collapse. It's going to completely collapse. Because our country is going to be broke. We're going to be a bunch of unemployed paupers, right? And so we're not going to be able to afford to spend a lot of money buying homes, right? You know, and that's the reality. I mean, how much is real estate worth in a poor country? It's not worth that much, right? That's where we're going. So there's no reason. The only reason to own U.S. real estate is to take on debt because that debt will be wiped out. That's it. It's not to buy the real estate. It's to get it for free because you screw the person who loaned you the money. Now, you know who's loaning you the money? It's probably the Federal Reserve, because nobody in their right mind would give an American a mortgage to buy a house when they know they're going to get screwed with inflation. So the only reason that you can borrow money right now is because the Federal Reserve is buying that mortgage, right? It's either Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac or the Fed. They're buying it, and it's going to create massive inflation. And they're just, well, we're a broke country, because remember, we're not even going to be a capitalist country anymore. We are a socialist country. We are a central command economy. The government is taking over industry. We have an industrial policy. We're going to have these plans. The government is running the economy now. They are going to try to determine what is produced, who produces it. They're going to allocate resources because President Obama, they don't believe capitalism works. They think that that's why we're in trouble. They think that they can bring the best brains from Harvard and Wall Street up to Pennsylvania Avenue, up to the Capitol, and they're going to figure out how to run the economy. And as their policies make it worse, the only conclusion that they can come to is, capitalism even worse than we thought. We need even more government. We need to take control of more industries. We need to set policy in Washington. We need to determine who works for what company, what gets made, what doesn't get made, and the whole country is going to be one giant post office. We are in serious, serious trouble. And I'm not just, you know, talking, you know, this is a real, real problem. This is real, real financial and economic Armageddon that we are facing, and nobody is doing anything about it. And so it's like we are going full speed for the edge of a cliff. And right now I see nothing to stop this truck from going over the edge.
Right. So in the face of all that, it's real estate is a second thought. We have bigger problems.
To get your wealth out of this country and out of dollars and anything connected with the United States, because every asset in this is gonna sink in value, and there's nothing you can do. You need to look for safety abroad, because that's the only place you're gonna find it. Anyway, thanks for the call.
Thank you, Peter.
All right, who is next? Because I had Eric as the last caller, but I still think I have some. Is Mac there? Is there a Mac?
Hello?
Who's this, please?
This is Ray, Florida.
Okay, hey, Ray. You're on the air.
Okay, I was calling about the 60 Minutes from the last Sunday. I don't know if you saw that. They were talking about this new wave of mortgages.
Yes, I saw that. They were talking about the alt-A's and the option arms. The resets are coming. Yeah, I've been warning about that for years. In fact, when the subprimes first hit, I tried to explain that it was a mortgage problem, not a subprime problem. And one of the reasons that the subprime mortgages were going bad first is because they had short resets. Most subprime mortgages had two-year resets. The teaser rates only lasted for 2 years. But the prime mortgages, or the alt-A's or the option arms, most of them had five-year teaser rates. So I knew that the resets wouldn't happen for another few years. And that wave is about to hit. And that's why the Fed is scared shitless. And that's why they're trying to artificially bring down long-term rates, because they're hoping mortgage rates will come down so that the people who are in these ticking time bombs can refinance out of these resets. But it's not going to work.
Okay. I thought that's why also it figures why the banks are not lending, also because they're waiting for the second wave to hit also.
Well, the banks are not lending because the banks are broke. They've lost all their capital. And why should they lend more money to Americans who are already so loaded up with debt that they can't repay the money they've already borrowed? You'd have to be a moron to lend money to an American consumer. I mean, why? Somebody that's loaded up with student loans and credit card debt and a mortgage, you want to loan him money to go deeper into debt? Why? Loan somebody money to buy a new big screen TV, to buy new furniture in a house that they're mortgaged to the hilt on? It's insanity to assume that. And why would we want that? We don't want that anymore. We have to stop borrowing money. Americans have to shut down. What we need is a moratorium on consumption. We need every American to basically take a pledge and say, I will not buy anything for the next year. I'm not going to buy any clothes. I'm not going to buy any consumer electronics. I'm not going to buy any furniture. I'm not going to buy anything. I'm going to save my money. That's what we need to do. We are in debt up to our eyeballs. The last thing we need is more debt. The last thing we need is to buy more stuff that we can't afford. You know, it's funny. If you ever you look at, I've been watching on television these shows where these companies are hired to clean out foreclosed homes or homes that have been abandoned. Mm-hmm. And the amazing thing is the people who are abandoning their homes, they're not even taking their stuff. They're going in there and cleaning out computers, television sets, stereo equipment, furniture, things that the people who own these houses didn't even want. They bought so much shit on credit cards that they didn't even want any of it. They left the houses. They didn't take it with them. They didn't try to sell it on eBay. It's clutter. We got to stop doing that.
And how is that going forward? If the dollar is collapsing, if it's going to be a collapse before the second wave really hits, I guess, how is that going to affect foreign stocks then, and currencies and gold?
Look. Ultimately, I think the world economy is going to recover, and I think stocks right now around the world are being given away. I think there are fire sale prices. I think there are buying opportunities of a lifetime right now in the rest of the world. And I think we have to take advantage of it. I mean, we get a great twofer right now. We can get rid of our dollars, and we can buy foreign stocks cheap, and we can buy gold, we can buy commodities. You know, we got to do something because we don't want to go down with a ship.
But should we wait?
We have these opportunities. Anyway, I know I have to hop because I have a few people on hold, and I think I've only got 5 minutes left. Well, thanks for the call. Let me take – who is the next one? Mac.
Mac, yes. Hi, Peter. I have a quick question. Between Canadian dollar and Australian dollar – which one do you think has a better?
Well, right now, I go with the Aussie dollar because the Aussie dollar has dropped dramatically. You know, at one point they were pretty close together. Now the Canadian dollar is, you know, 80 something cents, and the Aussie dollar is still about 60 cents. So right now, if I had to pick between the two, to concentrate more on, I like the Aussie dollar. Anyway,
okay, would it also because Australia has better or more trade with China and Japan?
Well, that's another part of it. But I mean, Canada has trade with China too. But yeah, Australia is very integrated into the Asian economies. But anyway, I thank you for the call. Let me go to David in Illinois.
Hi, Peter. I read both of your books, and a lot of what you say makes sense, especially the GDP numbers of U.S. economy being phony and all that. Mm-hmm. The only question I have is, how do we know that the other countries' numbers are not phony?
Well, they probably are to some degree, but obviously you can see the results of their productivity. You can see their exports. You can see the products that they're making and that they're exporting around the world. So I think that our numbers are definitely far more phony than numbers coming out of other major economies. But look, politicians are politicians. They could be fudging them everywhere. But we are the country that's in serious trouble. We're the ones that are addicted to debt. We're the biggest debtor. We're the ones that are borrowing all this money. We're the ones that have a completely phony economy. So, you know, a lot of people keep trying to find fault with the rest of the world. You know, I know nobody is perfect, but we are in serious, serious trouble. And in order to get out of the United States, that means you have to get into another economy. So, you know, even though the other economies aren't perfect, they're much better than the U.S., and that's what we've got to do. Anyway, thanks for the call. Let me see if I can grab the last call. We're running out of time. Pat in New York.
Yes. Hi, Peter.
Yes.
Hi, yes. I'm with you. My husband and I are with you 100%. We listen to you faithfully. Had a question. Looks like the perfect storm. Are you familiar with peak oil?
With who? Yeah, well, look, I mean, I'm not totally familiar with peak oil. I do believe that oil prices are headed higher, even though oil today is still only around $40 a barrel. It, you know, it's kind of nonsense that oil is this cheap. I don't think it's going to stay this cheap. I think the supply and demand imbalances favor much higher oil prices. I don't think that $140 a barrel, whatever we had, was going to be the peak. I think we're going to go higher. I just don't know when. But I think that a lot of the oil companies and all oil and industrial metal stocks are still trading near their lows, you know, within sometimes 10 or 20% within their lows. I think we should be continuing to buy in that sector.
Correct. And that would be like the icing on the cake with that when our supply and demand and if America starts importing less than what we are now.
Look, eventually our imports are going to collapse because we're going to be too broke to afford any oil. And that's going to be a positive for the rest of the world because the oil that we can no longer afford will be oil that they can use. And so the rest of the world is going to enjoy an increase in oil because it's going to be all the oil that we no longer consume. But, of course, we're going to have to suffer in an economy with a lot less energy. And, you know, we don't have the right infrastructure for that. We don't have everybody's got cars. You know, we don't have enough public transportation. Our country is in serious trouble because when we're broke and we can't afford gasoline because, you know, the Chinese are buying instead, we don't have the infrastructure. Look, we've got a serious, serious problem ahead of us. Unfortunately, the most serious problem we have now is our own government and the things that they're doing to try to solve the problem, which is making it so much worse. And right now, we can't even think in terms of solutions. We have to think in terms of salvation for ourselves and for our own money, and we need to get out of Dodge as quickly as we can.
Right. Well, you're talking more individually because we can't depend on the government at all.
No.
Individually, we have to do what's best.
The government's not doing the right thing. You know, am I getting any calls from Barack Obama asking me to come down to Washington, D.C. and tell him what I think he should do? No, they don't care what I think. They don't care what anybody who believes in freedom, who believes, you know, thinks. They don't care what anybody who predicted this collapse thinks. All they care about is big government and their own agenda and their own egos, and they think that they're so smart. These guys think that they know more than everybody else, and they're going to go to Washington and micromanage the economy and solve all the problems because they're so much smarter than everybody else, and they know what to do. And this is the mindset of a lot of these people, and this is the arrogance and the elitist attitude that they have, and it's no different than the elitist who took over in Soviet Union or China or Cuba or any place this kind of nonsense has tried, this kind of Marxist ideology, because that's what we have now, and we're going to suffer just as greatly as anybody else who's gone through this experiment. Anyway, are you still there? All right, am I still on? I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
All right, well, anyway, thanks for the call, Pat.
Okay, you're welcome. Bye-bye.
All right, we're running out of time. Anyway, remember, this is serious, serious stuff, right? Not only for yourselves, but for your family members, for your friends. I think we're running out of time. I think, you know, this phony dollar rally is over. There is a lot of downside risk. This thing could unravel very, very quickly, and we need to move. We need to move fast. You know, just make sure to call 800-7000. 727-7922. If you haven't opened up your account, get it open. If you've opened it up and you haven't funded it, fund it. If you bought some stocks but you still have more money in dollars, send in more. And right now, you know, even if you're going to buy foreign government bonds or corporate bonds or whatever you're going to buy, you need to get out of the dollar. You know, gold, you know, gold's still below 1,000. It's at $850, $860 an ounce. You know, it's up 20% in 2 weeks, but that's going to be nothing. Wait till we move through 1,000. Wait till we move through 1,500 or 2,000. In fact, don't wait for that. Buy your gold before that happens. Buy your silver. Silver's still just over $10 an ounce now. It got as high as 20 earlier in the year. One of these days, we're going to look back at $20 silver with nostalgia. People are going to think, wow, I could have bought silver for only $20 an ounce. You know, don't wait for these things to happen. Make sure and own your precious metals now. Get out of the dollar now. Get into these stocks while you can still get these double-digit dividend yields. Anyway, I think I am running out of time.